Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Being perfect is about being able to look your friends in the eye and know that you didn't let them down. There wasn't one more thing that you could have done. If you can do that, gentlemen, then you're perfect.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Huh. Okay.
Made it to the weekend.
Not yet.
No, it's the song.
Oh, what is this song?
This is the artist, The Weeknd.
The artist is called The Weeknd? We tell you this every day.
Every week.
Every Friday.
The Weeknd, yes.
No, I don't. Hey, have you not picked up on the theme of, let me explain how this works, both you guys, all right? I have to tell this to my wife, too. All right, so we have this computer chip in our head. It's called our brain. Do you know sometimes you get a message, like your work emails are getting full, and you get a little message like your Microsoft box is almost full. Please clear out some space, right? You guys get that every now and then. Okay. My inbox is almost
full. You've
been getting
that email lately, too. I get that a lot these days.
Yeah, my inbox is almost full, okay? I'm 58. There's a lot of crap in there. There's trash. There's junk. I don't erase my deleted items. I save stuff. There's a lot of stuff in my computer chip, and it's full. Really darn close to full. So I have to decide, do I want to save this or do I want to not save it? Some of the things you guys tell me, I say this to my wife and to everybody else, some of the stuff I hear, for example, it took me a few weeks before I realized, oh, you don't have a central air. Some of the things I hear, I don't necessarily save because I've got to decide, is this sponge worthy? And
no,
that
would,
song
I
is not just, sponge worthy.
I would just have a question.
Yeah.
How much space does this explanation take up?
Yeah, well, point something megabits.
Maybe you can push out this explanation and toss The Weeknd in there and like call it a wash.
So The Weeknd is like, is that a wrestler name? Like, oh, like The Big Show? The Weeknd? No? All right.
It's like Prince. Like an artist, you know? He's The Weeknd.
The artist formerly known as Prince.
He's Canadian too.
Oh, see, nice to work Mapletron and The Weeknd into the show
then. Mapletron. Chase Claypool, Mapletron.
Yeah, our neighbors to the north who we'll never see again, apparently. All right, it is Football Friday. We're taking your calls on the Bills-Dolphins matchup, 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Guess what? I always save space in my brain to remember to go to SCAF.
Football!
Super, super, great, great American football Friday frenzy.
All right, a rundown of the week's games. Bills, Dolphins, of course. Or week two. Do you find that, I was talking about this with my wife Molly, that the week flies in a different way during football season? Because every day has a thing, right? Like, Sunday's the game. Monday is day after the game. Tuesday is fantasy football waiver madness. Wednesday is breathe. Thursday is the Thursday night game. And then it's TGIF Friday. And, like, every day, like, I really do think that football helps the time move faster.
Yeah. Well, Tuesday is the day after the day after the game. Since, you know me, I didn't do fantasy football this year. I screwed all you guys over. So Tuesday for me is still, my week is cut up into three segments. Monday and Tuesday, I'm still in, hey, how'd that last game go? Wednesday is like a transition thing. I'm in limbo. And then Thursday is part of the whole, hey, there's another, what's the next game? And like Thursday through Sunday all mesh together. That's pretty much it. I got a review, a limbo, and game mode. Wednesday's like, I have no idea what Wednesday is. Wednesday, I'm in a netherworld.
Well, here we go. Week two, Bills playing the Dolphins. Here's what's going on around the rest of the league. The Rams are playing at the same time as the Bills.
Yeah,
so if you
wanted
to scout their next opponent, you can't.
Right.
They play at 1 o'clock in Philadelphia, a Rams team and a Eagles team that, well, the Rams won, right? The Eagles lost.
Mm-hmm.
Rams beat Dallas, which I think is a nice win. I mean, Dallas' offense is supposed to be really good. They held them in check. They got their win. If the Rams get a win over Philadelphia and come here 2-0, and the Bills beat the Dolphins to go to 2-0, what do you think the spread would be?
Bills by 3.5.
Oh, I think it'd be smaller.
Bills by 2.5.
I think it might be a 1 to 1.5, and maybe even a pick. If they're on a neutral field, who's favored?
I don't know. Maybe a pick 'em.
I don't either.
Yeah,
it might
be
tough. It will matter, right? The style
I was
points
going
will
with
matter.
Although, you know what? This is a different year. I was sticking to the old premise
of 3 points
for home field.
And you might do that for a team out west coming east. They are doing it 2 weekends in a row. Philly first out here on the east, and then Buffalo next week. I haven't
wonder if they're
looked
staying.
Into it. If they're staying, right? Exactly.
I wonder if they could do that. No, you know what? Wouldn't it be too much trouble in the pandemic era?
I agree. I think exactly right. Are you going to, pandemic bubble practice?
Yeah, that's hard.
No, you're probably going to go back home and then come back next week. So anyway, that's Rams. The Rams are playing at Philadelphia. Another team that Bills fans, I think, are keeping an eye on, of course, is New England. They play in the Sunday night game in what is a really nice Sunday night matchup of Patriots-Seahawks.
Delicious matchup.
Very delicious.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to seeing my usual first half. Just to see, because like you, it's double scouting. Seattle and New England. But again, each week with Cam Newton is fascinating. How does he look? How does he fit in that offense? Are they really going to be that run heavy? Will they start throwing the ball with him more? And Seattle and Russell Wilson and letting Russ cook and all that. I mean, there's a gazillion storylines, I think, for that game that make it a really interesting matchup.
Yeah,
good choice to put that on Sunday night.
I agree. And it's the kind of Sunday night matchup that I might want to stay up and watch a lot of just because I really want to see. I mean, the Seahawks, sure, they're fun to watch. DK Metcalf against Stephon Gilmore is a nice matchup, by the way, and something to watch. But I just want to see as much of Cam and the Patriots as I can before the Bills play them. Half the season's going to tick off before the Bills and Patriots play.
Yeah, November 1, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to see how good Cam looks, not just week one against the Dolphins, but week in and week out, because I just think it's an interesting story, of course. And, defending Newton with that offense.
Sure.
Week one, it was good enough. And will they start to, come together, congeal, whatever you want to say, and start to look effective?
And Metcalf's an exciting player. You know, we always talk about exciting quarterbacks. And if you want to talk about fun skill players to watch, Metcalf's in that group. I found a tweet, by the way, about the Rams travel plans. They were going to, their initial plan was to stay on the East Coast for 2 weeks, play the Eagles, stay on the East Coast, play the Bills, and then COVID occurred. So this was from September 14th. The Rams did decide to change and will travel day before for both the games against the Eagles and the Bills now.
Gotcha. Sal says the Bills are currently 3 to 3.5 point favorites over the Rams.
Hmm.
So we'll see what happens if a Rams win in Philly would convince anybody otherwise. But right now, 3 to 3.5.
By the way, sneaky big game. Not even sneaky. Big game for the Eagles. You know, they blew the big lead against Washington. I'm sure that was a game you were asking me earlier. Like, if they lost to Miami, bump in the road, would you be shocked? Rock your foundation. I don't know that there are many Eagles fans who thought they would lose to Washington, and especially up 17-0 in that game. So that's, if they fall to 0-2, that's problematic for the Eagles.
Right. The Eagles, just look at what they've got coming up. Before they play another game in their division, they play the Rams and then Cincinnati. So maybe you can get Bengals.
Right.
And after Cincinnati, Philadelphia plays San Francisco, Pittsburgh, Baltimore.
Ooh.
That's tough.
Boy, that's a brutal stretch.
That is a tough stretch. So, the Eagles might want to get a win while they can against
really tough defenses.
This
wow.
Rams team. So it is. I think you're right. It's a big game for them. San Francisco playing the Jets. The 49ers, a team on the Bills' schedule. They'll be at the Jets. Jimmy Garoppolo had a decent game in the opener and maybe primed for some more good numbers. If if Allen throws for 312 against the Jets, you know, one of the things we don't yet know is that the worst pass defense in the league? Is that middle of the road? We'll get an idea as the Niners, who don't have a, you know, tremendous passing game, but can do it a little bit as they play the Jets for a week two matchup, Niners and Jets. Atlanta and Dallas.
I think this is one of the – I mean, it's not – New England, Seattle jump off the page, but to me, I think it's a really good game against, I think Dallas makes the playoffs. Maybe Atlanta gets in there this year, but either way, it should be an offensive shootout. You got quarterbacks that like to, you know, throw the ball. You've got some really good offensive talent. I love this game, you know, just from a fan standpoint of watching it.
I think so too. Julio Jones, I mean, the receivers in this game, I'm just trying to think if there's a better group of receivers on two teams in one game all year than Atlanta and Dallas.
I'm trying to remember
good.
The guy. What was it? Is it Gage, right? Russell Gage, right? They had three guys top 100 yards last week in their loss. So, and then you got Prescott and Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott and all that. Whatever. I just think it should be a very entertaining football game to watch.
Dallas will be home for that one. Quick note from last night.
And they'll have fans too, right, Jeremy?
They're going to have some fans, yep.
Yeah, all right.
So we'll see. Quick note from last night, if you're a fantasy football fan and Dynasty or whatever you might be, but T. Higgins out-snapped A.J. Green.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I forgot Boyd T. Higgins was there, actually, until the game started. Like, oh, Higgins, right.
T. Higgins, yeah. He out-snapped. And for an offense that throws it as much as Cincinnati does, I mean, 60 passes, and he's on the field for 65%, I think the number was, to 62 for A.J. Green.
And what did Green end up having, like, three catches?
Yeah, he did not have a big day.
Well, you know, the first drive, he goes down, and I thought, oh, my Lord, please don't tell me he's injured again.
Yeah, it looked like he fell on the ball.
Right.
You couldn't quite see what happened.
Yeah.
He is, by the way, Green, getting targeted. Burrow is going to Green a lot. He had 9 targets in the opener. He had 13 yesterday.
And he only had 3 catches?
3 catches on 13 targets.
Blah. That's awful.
So whatever's not working is not working. Mm. Maybe that's because Burrow, when pressed into a moment like, throw to A.J. Green, you know, like whatever.
Right.
13 targets is a big number for A.J. Green to get, even with a limited snap count. Mm. Not quite limited, but he was below both Boyd and Higgins.
Yeah.
All right, moving along. Carolina-Tampa Bay. You've got Tom Brady and Bruce Arians trying to maybe get a little positive experience between the two of them. After Arians kind of called out Brady, and Brady said, he's the coach, I'm the player, we're trying to work through things.
That's fun. I'm enjoying this. It's more entertaining this way. And look, Brady is still Brady and Tampa. It's not a national game this week. It's a 1 o'clock game, but Brady and Tampa are still must-watch television, and I who isn't curious to see how they come back and whether or not they should beat Carolina. You know, Carolina did a little better than maybe I thought against in their opener against the Raiders, but Tampa Bay should win this game. But, hey, it's Brady and the Bucs. There'll be something to watch every week this year.
Let me pull up the Buccaneers schedule because this is one that you'd
want to
have
this one.
Right?
They really do have, yes, they need to
Carolina.
Win this game. Yeah.
They're not expected to be too good.
It's supposed to be the worst team in your division.
Yeah. Bucks after this have Denver, Chargers, Bears, Packers moving forward.
Doable. Not that bad a schedule at this point.
No. Their schedule actually doesn't look too tough. Moving along to our next game. That was Carolina-Tampa. These are all the Fox 1 o'clock games, by the way, that I'm rolling through right now that are on at the same time as the Bills. Detroit and Green Bay. You're the Lions. You feel like you should be 1-0, not only because you had a lead, but because – while you blew that lead, your quarterback still took you down the field and put it on the money for DeAndre Swift.
I forgot about him.
He dropped it in the end zone.
Oh,
so,
man.
You're the Lions, you feel like you should be 1-0, and at Green Bay, you're staring at 0-2.
I hope Swift has a big game on Sunday. I still feel bad for him. Yeah. No, and I think Detroit's a team that we talked about. Maybe they can make some noise in the division. Look, as they lose another game, the heat would seemingly get even worse. Hotter pressure builds on Matt Patricia. And the flip side of this was Aaron Rodgers was great in his opening game for the Green Bay Packers. In an offseason where people talked about, hey, why don't you get him another wide receiver? You know, he threw for, 300-something yards and 4 touchdowns. So I would pick Green Bay to win this game. And it's probably more about having no faith in Matt Patricia than anything else.
Lions-Packers.
We're not getting the early Fox game anyway, right?
No, we're not.
From your map yesterday, right?
No, okay. The late game we get is Washington and?
Arizona.
Who?
my Cardinals. That yes, I remembered. Right. See, that I put in the chip.
You did.
Yeah, huh?
Howard's Cardinals. Before we get to my that one, though, Minnesota-Indianapolis is another 1 o'clock game. Right. Vikings at Colts, two teams that lost on opening day. The Colts were stunned by the Jaguars and now host Minnesota.
And lost Marlon Mack off that game, too. So.
Yes, they did. Minnesota couldn't get anything going offensively.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. There's the 1 o'clock Fox slate. The late game, Washington at Arizona, a good look at Kyler Murray. You know, Murray is developing into a – they should put Arizona in prime time a bunch.
Yeah.
Because he is really good and really fun to watch.
Coming ahead pretty well. I thought last year he made strides, quicker strides than I anticipated with him. And we no longer talk about, you know, well, you can't hire a coach right out of Texas Tech with no pro experience. They're doing fine. And he's coming along and their weapons are great. And look, watching Kyler Murray operate with Larry Fitzgerald who? Operating with DeAndre Hopkins is great, and it was a huge win for the Cardinals. So, okay, don't come home and lose to Washington, who I think you should now be able to beat. Cardinals could be 2-0 after this game, and you're right. Murray is – he's another fun, young quarterback to watch. So go Cardinals. My Cardinals.
Your Cardinals.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I'm going to retire and move to Phoenix anyway. I might as well start rooting for the Cardinals now.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, beat the Rush.
Okay, so CBS games. Those are all the Fox games. Here's your CBS games. The Bills are on early, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So we get Buffalo-Miami. Other markets, Denver-Pittsburgh is a big game around the country.
That'd be fun
to
watch.
A lot of the country. Most of the country, I think, is going to get, at least geographically, not necessarily people.
Yeah.
Anyway, it is the Greg Gumbel-Rich Gannon game. That's not their number one team. That's Nansen's.
No, Nansen Romo. Is that their? That's not even. Is that even their number two team, or is Ian Eagle the number two guy?
Is Kevin Harlan the number two guy?
Oh, I forgot about him. That's right.
Yeah. So anyway, Denver Pittsburgh's one of those games. I like Pittsburgh. I'm eager to see. I think they'll win this game.
Should.
I think they look good with Roethlisberger you know, it's almost like order is restored in the world when Pittsburgh is good while Roethlisberger is still playing. Jacksonville, Tennessee.
You know, I would not have normally given a second thought to this game, but then, you know, the Jags did beat Indianapolis. Minshew had a really good game, and Tennessee struggled a little bit with Denver. So I'm going to guess this is going to be a nice, low-scoring, ugly, slug it out. Neither team gets the 20-point game, and Tennessee wins on a kick. Right, they'll win like 38-6 now, and Minshew will throw like four picks.
Yeah. Denver, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Buffalo, Miami, and Giants at Bears.
Pass. Can I skip this one?
A stat for you on Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
And his opener. So the Bears, of course, bring Khalil Mack. Jones was under pressure in the opener against the Steelers, who also have a really good pass rush and good ends.
Yeah.
Jones was under pressure 26 of 48 dropbacks, which is 54%. Yeah. Most of any quarterback in the NFL.
That's a tough defense he had.
It is. It's another tough defense to face. The point, I think, that Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus, tweeting out that stat a couple days yesterday, that Jones, for one stretch in the game when he wasn't getting pressured, looked really good.
Yeah.
He does occasionally show you some really impressive stuff, the 19-play drive before the pick. But if they can ever protect him, by the way, it's the third year. It's Dave Gettleman's the GM, and he still doesn't have an offensive line that can protect his quarterback.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
He's the most pressured quarterback in the NFL through 1 week.
Maybe there weren't enough offensive linemen where he couldn't envision them wearing gold jackets. I don't know. That could be maybe that's the issue with him. Yeah, I don't know. That might be. I'm trying to think. I feel like that's one of the least attractive games on the schedule. Not really a fan of watching the Bears offense operate. I mean, at least you get Barkley and Daniel Jones, but I got nothing for New York, Chicago. I'll be busy watching Bills anyway, but I'll pass on that one.
And then, of course, the night games. You've got the Sunday night, which we have said is pretty juicy. And the Monday night game is New Orleans at the Death Star, Vegas.
Well, you forgot the two 425 CBS games, the two best games
right,
on
I
the
did.
Schedule.
Chiefs, Chargers, and Baltimore, Houston.
Delightful.
The country's getting Chiefs, Chargers for the most part.
Yeah.
Texas, Houston area, and Baltimore, Pittsburgh market, Cleveland getting. The AFC North is getting that game.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is getting Kansas City and the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to – I mean, you're splitting hairs. If it were up to me, I would rather see Baltimore-Houston because I don't know that the Chargers game with Kansas City is going to be close. I think Baltimore-Houston will be a far better football game. the saving grace is you get to watch Mahomes. Anytime you watch Mahomes in the Chiefs offense, it's worth the price of admission, but I don't see how Tyrod Taylor and that offense can keep up with
those
guys.
Well, that's one of the takeaways. Again, like, we only have week one and then we have week two, and you kind of try to piece together what the story is. The Chargers couldn't score against Cincinnati.
They got 16 points against the Bengals defense.
And the Browns got 35.
Uh-huh. Right.
So,
good
red lights, uh-oh, yeah, Chargers offense.
Unless that's one of those crazy stats where, like, the Chiefs, for some reason, have a losing streak against one of their division rivals, which I don't know that they do. But I can't, unless, like, Bosa and Ingram would have to just completely destroy Kansas City's passing offense. I don't see that happening. No, Derwin James doesn't help in this matchup either. So, give me Baltimore-Houston. Can you call the network on that one, please? And what was the Monday night? Oh, New Orleans-Vegas, right, from the Death Star. Hey, worth watching. You know, we had Scott Pianowski on yesterday from Yahoo Sports, our fantasy guy that we get on every week, and he did point out, you know, Drew Brees' numbers have been going down a little bit. He did not have a big day throwing the ball, even though they beat Tampa in week one. Michael Thomas is out. I would think the Saints still win this game, but worth watching Brees and to see what's going on with their passing game and where his numbers are, and especially Monday night playing without his favorite receiver, Michael Thomas. And you get to scout Vegas. Here's the best reason to watch the game.
Yep.
You get to see what the Raiders look like since the Bills are going to play Vegas.
Which best reason to watch a game might be to see the stadium.
Oh, they have a new stadium? Is that the only new stadium in the league this year? Vegas? You know if it's,
I wonder if the Chargers' first home game they'll put on and be like, look at this brand new stadium. How about it?
Yeah. Geez, you think LA got enough of a build-up? Yeah,
have you seen it in Chargers colors?
Oh, my goodness. Right,
yeah, granted,
right,
they're almost the same colors.
Yeah, right. No, you have to have your Rams set up, and then you have to – it's not like the Giants and the Jets. I mean, two distinctly different colors based on which team is home. But I haven't – you know what? I don't even think I've seen – at least I saw SoFi a little bit in Hard Knocks because the Rams went there one day for a practice. I don't recall seeing anything – What is the real name of Vegas? Oh, Allegiant.
Allegiant Stadium.
I'm not sure that I've actually seen any video or anything about Allegiant Stadium, so I'll be curious to see what it looks like.
It looks like a giant spaceship.
A giant Death Star spaceship. Like Chicago, right? Wasn't that what they said about Soldier Field and when they redid it? They made it a giant spaceship.
It looks like a spaceship the same way that Arizona's stadium looks like a spaceship. Like when it's completely encapsulated on the outside and it's all these sleek walls around the outside.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see how it fares on national television. All right, we'll get a break. It is M&T Bills Fan Football Friday. Bills head coach Sean McDermott coming up. Your call's always welcome, too, to talk Bills-Dolphins with us. 803-0550 on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Friday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, here's Howard and Jeremy with Coach McDermott.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. By Kaleida Health, wear a mask, save a life. By Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. By Ross Salino, supporting the Thurman Thomas Foundation. And by Dunn Tire, official tire of the Buffalo Bills.
Welcome back to Football Friday. We're waiting. Sean, he's going to be checking in shortly. They have a team meeting at around 9:15, so we're kind of flexible with the schedule. When that breaks up, we will get the Bills head coach on with all of y'all. I got a funny prop bet. I was going to bring this up when you were doing SCAF. It's just one prop bet. Sportsbetting.ag. You mentioned New Orleans playing, or New Orleans. New England is playing Seattle. You can make this prop bet. Will the Seahawks attempt a pass from the opponent's one-yard line in week two? Yes, plus 350, or no, minus 600. That's a nice little homage to the that big game with the one-yard line run thing, which they didn't in the Malcolm Butler. So, yeah, right?
Now, I thought that was hilarious. In the prop, they have to have a snap from the one. Like, is it a push if they never get a snap from the one?
That is a I'm going to assume you'd lose. I mean, the way it's written, will the Seahawks attempt to pass from an opponent 1 yard line? So if they don't, if they don't even get to the 1 yard line, I'm going to guess you would lose your bet.
Okay, well then I would definitely bet no, because there's not even a guarantee they'll get to the 1 yard.
True.
Line.
Yeah,
they could snap it from the two.
I would think you wouldn't, right? Wouldn't it be they would stick to the letter of the wording of the bet, which means there has to be a pass from the one. And if they don't even have a play at the one, you lose. That's just the way it goes. But I like whoever came up with it. Wunderbar. Love making fun of one of the more heartbreaking moments as a not a fan of the Seattle Seahawks for us. The other thing I wanted to share with you, I had a quick stat of the day I wanted to bring up. And let's see, where is this? This is from Pro Football Talk, I think it was. Did you know? So week one, we knew penalties were down. We knew field goal misses were up. We also, I don't know if you knew about quarterbacks. First time since 2011, all 32 quarterbacks who started week one are also starting week two.
Oh, wow.
No injuries, no benchings. First time in 9 years that has happened. Like last year, Nick Foles was injured and was replaced by Gardner Minshew. Sam Darnold got sick after the Bills game and was replaced by Trevor Siemian. So no injuries, no benchings, nothing. Same 32 starters, week one, week two, first time since 2011. That's my bonus stat of the day for the show.
Tomorrow, of course, another sports jersey Saturday. I'm running low.
How many you got left?
Like four or five.
Oh, that's, you know, we're talking what?
Another month.
Mid-October, mid to late October?
Yeah, I'm running low.
You have any, have you been, I'm trying to think. Have you had a, do you have a breakdown of how many, what sports you've been using? Do you have more jerseys in one sport than any other sport, by the way?
I think if I were to say which one I have the most of, well, that's a good question.
Hockey jerseys? Hockey sweaters?
I probably have more hockey because I have a bunch of Sabres. I have four different Sabres, four or five, six different Sabres jerseys. Yeah, so it probably would be the Sabres.
Did you not plan this out accordingly to know? When did you start the official really big sports jersey Saturday?
The very first one?
Yeah.
It would have been March, probably.
So right at the shutdown, like mid-March?
The first one I wore was, who was the first one I wore? Sprewell was second. My Latrell Sprewell Golden State Warriors jersey.
Oh.
That's right.
No, I know you're a fan.
I love that guy.
I'm sorry, I can't, you can't help, but anytime you hear Latrell Sprewell, I think of choking.
Yeah.
Was it PJ Carlissimo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, just Allen Iverson. We're talking about practice, things you will always associate no matter what else happens in the life of an individual. You say Sprewell, I think joking the coach. You know,
the first one, I'm going to have to go all the way. I'm actually on the hashtag now on Twitter, scrolling to see them all. I mean, we're back into – it doesn't go back far enough. It's got to be March. I can't remember the first one I wore. The first one I wore would have been a Blue Jays, Tulowitzki.
Oh, all right.
I wore the Blue Jays first.
I wasn't sure if you were – well, there was no sports going on back then anyway. Like in football, try and put more football stuff on. You won't have hockey for a while now, actually, so you could save your hockey jerseys until, December, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just go out. You know what? go find cheap jerseys on the web somewhere.
That's actually very, you can do that. That is very easy.
Oh, I know you can. That's, I have picked my son up a made a living off of those in college.
Along the way, I bought a Borussia Dortmund jersey along the way. I got a SK Wyverns, the Korean Baseball League jersey along the way.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. So, and I've had a couple people give me jerseys. Mr. Paul Hamilton gave me a jersey that I can use for one of these.
Iowa State?
No, not Iowa State.
Do you have Syracuse stuff?
I had a Donovan McNabb jersey that I wore once.
No, yep. Carmelo Syracuse jersey? I'm trying to think who else.
I mean, basketball jerseys are hard to own.
Yeah. John Wallace. I'm trying to think who else you would actually want to own. Well, you had Sprewell.
I'm into May. Yeah, I have Sprewell. Into May, April 25th. Okay, might have been. No, okay, we're going further back than April.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about pandemic, but, you know, sports has returned and you're still doing it. I mean, really, the Sports Jersey Saturday was not. The life of that was not only restricted to when there were no games going on. And, hey, look, this is something fun to do on a Saturday.
Yeah, it was just something to mark the days of the week.
Yeah.
It honestly became what day is it?
That's funny.
Oh, that's right. It's Saturday. I put a jersey on.
That's funny. So you actually knew because everything was blending in each day
everything
at that point?
Was just such a fog.
If
it's kind of
a
the thing
on,
I was saying about football. Like, football games on Sundays really helped me, like, anchor the week around a day.
Yeah.
And if we didn't have football right now, you know, I mean, the school year helps do that too, right? For parents or kids going to school, like, or not if they're not going to school, but usually the school week will help you anchor that in.
Yeah.
There's structure to September, October, November. When you get into July and August, just, you know, training camp is not any sort of specific day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's also, too, and I just think with the way sports, the schedules are altered, you know, now, right, you're in the summer and all of a sudden there's hockey games every day. And then you're like, I the NHL draft is 2 weeks from Tuesday.
Yeah.
What? I mean, it's what are we talking about? You know, and then free agency, and it's October. That's always, you know, late June, and then July 1. And so, it you know, even college football, like without all the Power 5 leagues opening at the same time, my college football sports clock is still kind of screwed up because you're not getting the typical matchups or the normal things you're seeing in a college football season because of the Big Ten not participating as of yet and the Pac-12 and actually the SEC not starting for another week. So it's all... That's all playing with the whole pandemic and what day of the week is it. The sports things that are usually in structure, you know, the U.S. Open is not Father's Day week. It's not Father's Day weekend. It's September. So it just kind of throws everything out of whack, I think.
March 21st, the first Sports Jersey Saturday.
During what would have been the NCAA basketball tournament, which wasn't taking place at the time.
March 20th, April, May, June, July, August, September. So we're coming up on 6 months.
That's a long time, man.
That's a long time.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Like this weekend will basically be, it'll be September 19th. That's 6 months.
Yeah,
it's
going to have to end at some point. You'll just run out of jerseys. I mean, you just, unless
you're
just
like,
buying the
having
knockoffs.
Those jerseys. Turns out I did have a reason for it, right?
Yeah.
Who's laughing now? No.
Just get a whole bunch of knockoffs.
Actually, I have one knockoff that I have not yet worn. I have a Sabres knockoff.
Oh, do you really? It's fine. Save a little money. I'm not going to look any differently at you. I can't. You're not in studio, but save a little money. Those things are expensive. You know, jerseys. This just in. Very expensive. Sit tight for a second. We were going to break because we're waiting to hear back from the Bills, but the super secret can't give out the number hotline just rang, so we might be getting Sean here. If not, I think we're going to squeeze in a break. Sean here. Okay. So let's do it. We already played the billboard, right? So let's go right to our Wester hotline. And Bills head coach Sean McDermott joining us right now on WGR. Coach, it is Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Happy Football Friday.
Good morning to you guys as well.
Hey, Sean, can you give us any new news on Edmonds and Milano, whether or not either guy is going to practice today, anything on the injury front with them?
Yeah, no, neither of them will practice today. They'll both be out.
Okay. So how's that would go to the important question of, how's your linebacker depth? What do you feel about whoever's next man up if those guys can't go on Sunday?
Yeah, you know, obviously it's a hit to a position, a significant hit. But, you know, at the end of the day, listen, we've got next man up opportunity here. And we're confident in the guys that we have in the building here.
Hughes and McKenzie were added to your report yesterday. Anything to be concerned about them as far as Sunday at this point?
Yeah, we'll see. We don't think so, but we'll see as we move forward into practice this morning.
Tell me, in hindsight, you're going to go on the road. You're going to have some fans. I guess it's a two-part question, Sean. Now that you experienced no fans, what was that like? And then I'll get to the next part, the some fans in the stands on Sunday.
Yeah, it's really, going back to the no fans, it's really what we're getting more and more used to, just because of the amount of exposure we've had to it. In terms of having fans, that's not something we can control, and so we're just focused on what we can control, and I think our players will be ready for any and every environment.
Have you talked to the players? You know, I'm sure you're the kind of coach that loves to see and hear energy on the sideline anyway. But was there an extra reminder to players that because there's no fans, there's pumped in crowd noise, we're going to need even more coming from you guys on the bench during a game, or does that just come naturally?
Well, I think it's a little bit of a combination of both. You know, the guys obviously were out there trying to do a job and getting that peak performance mindset, if you will. And then to your point, yeah, the positive energy, the juice, the momentum, that's a real piece of this, and how quickly it can swing one way or the other because of the lack of fans overall.
Sean with us here as you get ready to play the Dolphins. Okay, Sean, as you look at Miami. Okay, Sam, go ahead, Jeremy. I'm sorry.
Clarification. Yeah. When you said they'll both be out, is that for practice today or for the game, Sean?
For both the practice today and the game.
Okay, just wanted to clarify.
Thank you. I missed that. I thought you meant just practice, so thank you for bringing that up, Jeremy. Just to talk a little bit about, you know, as you've prepared for Miami and you've seen what you've seen on tape. I know a new offensive coordinator, but a same head coach. What are some of the challenges you see when you break down the Dolphins? You can start with the Dolphins offense. Let's do that.
Yeah, I mean, some of the unknowns, right? With Coach Gailey, Chan Gailey, who's had a great career in both pro and college ball. You know, so there's just unknowns, not having too much on film to go off of at this point still. So I think that's one of the you know, top challenges. And then, you know, they've got a good quarterback who we all know is you know, a great competitor and done a great job of leading that football team. And then, you know, they've got good skill around him now with a new offensive line that's been put in there and put together this year.
What about the defense? You know, you're mentioning a new coordinator. Now, the defense went through quite a bit of changeover, right? They brought in a whole bunch of new starters in free agency, guys that have been in the league that you'd be aware of, but now they're new to that particular team. Does that offer any kind of a challenge, even though it's the same head coach back?
Yeah, they've invested a rather large amount of money in on that side of the ball. With, you know, they got the corner situation, I'm sure they think, you know, solidified and good players there. They've got you know, guys that they've brought from Coach Flores' system in New England and added those pieces, and they drafted a lot of players on that side of the ball. And then they've got their front. They, you know, obviously everyone knows they got Shaq from us last season, so they're very talented on that side of the ball, and a good football team overall.
When you look back at your opener, Gabriel Davis had quite a bit of time on the field. I think he had 40-something% of the snaps. As you got a chance to go back and watch it, Sean, what did you notice from the rookie receiver? What did you see overall about his performance and whether or not he was comfortable in game one?
Yeah, I mean, I think for all rookies, we saw them handle it in a good manner. You know, just because, and it's always interesting to watch because it is their first game. And so that was good to see that they were able to handle the moment well, with more meat on the bone, though, if you will, from the standpoint of a lot of needs for and room for improvement with them and our football team, quite honestly.
Yeah. And one of those rookies, of course, is Tyler Bass. Did you and or Heath Farwell have any kind of special messages for him this week? Is he a kind of player? Would you be worried at all about his confidence, or how do you handle something like that with a rookie kicker?
Well, he's a confident, mentally tough young man, and our football team has a lot of confidence in him. And I think those two working together bode well for his future. There's going to be growing pains anytime you have a rookie out there at any position, and so we got to take, you know, some of the bad with the good, and you know, either we always talk about either you win or you learn. And in this situation, he learned a lot going through it that he can use this week as he continues to grow and improve.
There was actually one other guy I want to ask you about, Sean. Harrison Phillips, coming off the injury, you guys were careful about his snap counts, I would assume. How did he get through the game, and how has he managed to get through the week off of that first game action?
Yeah, both. He's done well. We like where he is. He played well, and he's only going to continue to get stronger and quicker and more comfortable as he, you know, as the days and weeks pass are coming off of that knee. So we expect to continue to see growth from Harry and leadership as well.
The other thing I want to ask you about, certainly before I let you go, your passing offense had a really good day the other day. And I guess, you know, from your standpoint, with the weapons you have now, we were talking about the flexibility in your attack. Pretty sure you're not going to tell us, hey, guys, we're going to run the ball more, we're going to pass the ball more Sunday. You're not really fond of tipping game plans. But can you talk, I guess, a little bit about the kind of flexibility you have on offense, the diversified attack, and how you could go in different directions depending on what you need to do each week by opponent?
Yeah, I mean, it's all led by Josh and what he's able to do. So, you know, he's an intelligent young man that loves to compete. And, you know, when you look at some of the skill that Brandon's put together on the offensive side, it gives us options to your point, and it gives us game plan options more than anything. So we're able to, identify and have a pretty good feel for what this week or any week's opponent on their defensive side, what they do and do well and what they struggle with. So, you know, we're going to try and every week come up with the best plan to put our players in position to be successful there.
Well, good luck on the first road trip of the pandemic era, and good luck on Sunday against the Dolphins. And as always, Sean, thanks for giving us some time. We'll talk to you again next Friday.
That sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me on. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you. Sean McDermott on our Western Hotline, and his segment on Football Fridays is brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you, by Kaleida Health, wear a mask, save a life, by GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance, by Ross Salino, supporting the Thurman Thomas Foundation, and by Dunn Tire, official tire of the Buffalo Bills. You joined us late. Jeremy, good job on the clarifying question. I thought he was referring to practice.
Yeah, I thought he meant the game right away, so I tweeted Edmonds and Milano out,
yeah.
And a few people wrote back and said, wait, did he just mean practice or the game? And Sal texted me, too, and said, wait, did he mean practice or the game? I immediately thought he meant the game.
I didn't think they'd rule him out this early, quite honestly. Like, if you could just hold
right.
the play
they
the whole.
They did that with Josh Norman, though. They ruled out, you know, before the weekend came. And,
yeah.
You know, I just felt like not that I know him that well. I didn't think he would use the term "they'll be out" unless he meant the game.
Yeah,
you know, like that's an official term. You know, mispractice is one way to say it. They're not here today. You know, they didn't. But they'll be out. To me, that immediately means Sunday.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we did clarify. So they'll both be out Sunday, and that is less than ideal.
Yes, that would give you reason to be maybe a little nervous. I still feel they'll win, but it makes you step back and go, okay, how could this be an issue? We'll get back, wrap up the show, and get out of the way for Instigators coming your way, top of the hour. And Eric Stahl, talking to media at 1130 WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, we got to go. Game day coverage starts Sunday morning at 7. Instigators next. We anticipate hearing from Eric Stahl in his Zoom call during the Instigators coming up at 11:30. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.